I have a title somewhere. There we are. What are you going to do with your picnic? Now, I'm not going to ask you a response to that straight away, because somebody did respond straight away once, and I'm sorry to say she got it wrong. I suppose if I'm going to fit in with the themes that Graham's been talking, I should say, what are disciples going to do with their picnic? But since we're all disciples, I can still ask the same question. What are you going to do with your picnic? Okay, now this came out of reading a passage that I'm sure you all know. It's often called Feeding the 5,000, or in some of the Bibles it says five loaves and two fish. And you can find that in Matthew 14, 13 to 21, Mark 6, 30 to 44, Luke 9, 10 to 17, John 6, 1 to 15. And just to underline, before I really get underway, this is the only miracle, apart from the resurrection, that's recounted in all the Gospels. So there's got to be something important in it. There's got to be some reason why it's in there. Well, let's see if we can discover what. Now, let's start by reading it. I'm going to read it from Mark. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him everything they'd done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." Today he'd have probably said, "Go to Morrison's." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have five loaves of bread and two fish." Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the five loaves and two fish, looked upward to heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed from those loaves. Right, let's put that into context. John the Baptist had been killed. John the Baptist, who came to tell everybody that Jesus was coming, basically. Put very simply, I'm not going into all his story. The disciples had just been on a mission trip. And they told Jesus everything that had happened. So they'd just come back from seeing lots of miracles themselves. Lots of healings. Lots of good teaching. Lots of people responding to what they were saying. Jesus and his disciples were trying to get away into a quiet and peaceful place. We all want to do that at times, don't we? And it's good. So they took a boat in order to escape from the crowd. When they get out of the boat, what do they find? Another big crowd. Now, I don't know about you, but I guess my response would have been something like, just come away for a quiet time. Oh, here we go again. But Jesus didn't. We're told he had compassion on them. He healed the sick and he healed them. He taught them. Now, as the day advanced, the disciples asked about feeding the crowd. I wonder what their motive was. I wonder if it was because they were hungry. John's gospel actually tells us that it was Jesus who raised the question of food. Perhaps he was trying to provoke them to see the need. Maybe they'd seen the need, if we read the other gospels. But either way, there was a need. And what was the human response of the disciples? Send them away. Go on. We can't deal with this. Off they go. Go and get some food from somewhere. Farms. Anywhere, as we said, Morrison's. If you can't go there, go to Aldi. But Jesus said, you feed them. Oh. Again, we get a human response from the disciples. And this is in three of the Gospels. We have not got enough money. It had cost us 8 months' salary to feed them all. And remember, they're not really earning while they're following Jesus. How are we going to get that? Okay, we've got a scene set for a miracle. Not bad, is it? And Jesus says, what have you got? So they say, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, we're not quite clear as we look across the Gospels. Either they had them themselves, or they managed to gather them off some folk, or, as one of the Gospels tells us, a little boy had them. It was his little boy's picnic. But John's Gospel definitely tells us that these were barley bread, which was bread of poor people. Pretty poor quality stuff. And the bread, you know, we tend to think of this story as a big loaf of bread. But in fact, barley loaves were probably about the size of a bread roll. So we've got even less than that picture imagines, you know, conjures up in our imagination. But let's just have a look. Now you're going to have to work now. There were 5 loaves and 2 fish. How many things is that altogether? 7. Well, there's about 3 people can do that. So that's good. Yeah, there were 7. Now, if we look in the Bible, the number 7, whenever it comes up, it's the number of completeness, the number of perfection. That's why when one of the disciples says to Jesus, how many times must I give? 7? Forgive 7 times? And Jesus says, no, either 70 times 7 or 7 times 7 or some combination thereof. But it's a completeness of a completeness. You must go over and above. But 7 is this number of completion. That's to say, there's not need for anything more. There's enough for the task in hand. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Jesus then asks the disciples to organise the crowd, sitting in groups of 50 to 100, as you can see. Sorry, I couldn't find the right number, but I thought they were sitting down. Yeah, crouching. It'll do. It's close. In total, we're told there were 5,000 men. That's because at that time they didn't count women and children. It was probably Father's Day. But we are told there were families, or there were women and children there. So the number to be fed was probably considerably larger than 5,000. What shall we say? Families of four? 20,000? So it gets worse, doesn't it? Not better. That's a lot of people to feed out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus prays. What does he do in his prayer? Well, he thanks God for his provision. And then he blessed the folk. And then he broke the bread. Good, we're getting there. And then we have a miracle moment. Because he gives that bread to the disciples who distribute it. We assume he also broke the fish and distributed them, but he doesn't actually tell us that. The disciples, in turn, gave them to the groups of people on the ground. We are told that everybody ate their fill. How the small pieces got more, we're not told. But we do know that there's an abundance of food, because we're told at the end that there were how many baskets? Great. How many disciples? A basket full each, left over from those little bits that we started with. What are the mechanics of this miracle? How does it happen? I would suggest that the multiplication in it occurs at 2 points. One, spiritually, when Jesus prayed, and two, physically, as the disciples distributed. It's so often the case, isn't it? Things happen spiritually and then happen physically. We see it in prayer. We know when we pray that the prayer's been answered, even if we can't see it on the ground. But it comes. There's a spiritual followed by a physical. And I really believe that in this miracle that we're just looking at, that's what happened. There's a spiritual multiplication followed by a physical. Now, we're not told that the disciples went running off with lorry loads of bread, but Jesus kept giving out bits. So there must have been another multiplication, a physical, practical multiplication happening. So it's in the hands of the disciples. Jesus' prayer and in the hands of the disciples. Two parts. Is this just the story of a good picnic? I don't think so. I think there's some principles involved. The first one, good to have an assistant. I used to have a secretary. We see in the first place that Jesus wanted to take care of people. That's right in the beginning, isn't it, of that passage. Right when he lands, the first thing he does is heal, is teach. And then he miraculously provides for their needs. But Jesus cares. I think that's the first principle. Secondly, we need to be looking round for opportunity. It's a word that's come up many times during the course of this year. opportunities. We need to be looking for them. We need to be looking for those opportunities to care for the needs of others. Note the disciples in this story that we've just read. They noticed, but if they hadn't noticed, according to one of the Gospels, then Jesus would have provoked them to notice. We next need organisation. Miracles don't happen haphazardly. There's a structure in there. And Jesus caused the people to sit in groups and to wait. You know, the bread didn't arrive at the furthest group straight away. It took time to organise, to do it properly, without people running all over. You know, if you find a group of hungry people, you watch on TV where there are starving people and food arrives, they all flock into it. And I guess that's what would have happened here. But Jesus has it organised. The next step, we need to look at our resources. What have we got? In this case, it was a picnic. But it could just as easily be our possessions. It could be our money. It could be our time. Now, that's a big one, isn't it? How often do we say, well, I haven't got time? When actually we mean, I don't really want to do it. Well, I know I do. We need to look at our resources and then we need to make them available. Available to God. All our resources, not simply what's left over after we've dealt with our needs. All our resources. Not just the leftovers. How many times have we heard it said that we are the first response to our prayers? There's need of somebody to do this or that. Lord, please send somebody. Often he chooses to send us or ask us to do it. If you want a biblical example, look at Nehemiah. He prayed for his city, Jerusalem. So God sent him to sort it out. That's the whole book of Nehemiah in two phrases. What are the implications of this being available? And the first one is that we need to be honest. You may think that's a bit obvious, but look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. A couple who went out and sold, I think it was a field or sold some property, came back to the disciples and said, here's the money that we've got for our property. In actual fact, it wasn't the truth. They'd kept some of it back. Now, there's nothing wrong with keeping some of it back. The issue was that they lied. They lied to God, basically, in saying, we've put everything available when they hadn't. It doesn't mean that we have to just throw up everything, sell all our goods and give it all away. No. But it means we do have to have it available. Now, being available doesn't mean it'll necessarily be taken up. But it needs to be available. But let's be honest about it. If we can't give our all, let's be honest. If we don't feel that we can put ourselves into certain situations, let's be honest about it. Honest to God. It doesn't matter about the other people around. It's being honest to God. Honest before God. Let's be honest. Second thing I would say on that availability is if we're not ready to be the answer to our own prayer. Often there's no response. That's frightening, isn't it? Does it say don't pray? No, it says be ready to be the response. We prayed for France for several years before God said go. But we were ready because we'd been available. And it's true for each and every one of us. We can be available, or we can have things available. If we say, okay, I've got these things available, let's just remember that what we have is sufficient. Remember the little sum, 5 loaves, 2 fish, 7 things is the perfect answer. It's sufficient to do the job. At that point, Jesus can take our offering. Somehow that seems to be what releases the miracle. Certainly in this story, and I think there's a principle there as well. If we offer it to God, he will use it. He blesses it, and then he multiplies it. Now, another little bit of maths for us. If we start with nothing and we multiply it by anything, what have we got? Nothing. Good. Hey, a few more answers there. If we start with a little bit and we multiply it, what have we got? Something. Or a lot more, probably, in God's mathematics. Now, that's useful, isn't it? It's useful to know that even if I've only got a little bit, God can multiply it. He doesn't just multiply it until there's enough either. Another little test. How much left over? 12 baskets. Now that's what I call abundance. How about you? Is that enough? Good. So there's more left over. But Jesus asks us to go even further. And again. He asks us to go right to the very end. To clean up the site. To finish the task. That's why he asked the disciples to collect up the leftovers. To finish. There's another preaching there somewhere. Ending matters. I want to come back to that question that we asked at the beginning. What are you going to do with your picnic? Now you can see how somebody could easily get that answer wrong. Are you going to make it available to Jesus so that he can perform a miracle? Or are you going to eat it yourself? Clearly, I'm not just talking about food, but everything we have, everything we're capable of doing. What we can see in ourselves may seem insignificant. All we really need is a willingness to make our resources available to Jesus. After that, it's his problem. He brings about the multiplication, but what we already have is sufficient for him to use. Now, sometimes that's hard to believe because you think, well, I can't do anything. You can. We can. As a church, we have a good record of responding to needs. After all, it's why the church moved its emphasis to Kirkby and, in fact, to this building, responding to the needs of young people. We're still doing it. There have been a number of recent things. The recipe competition has been as a result of that. The event on Morven Park, Heaven Sent, which I'm sure we shall hear some more about. Those are all responses, but collective responses. What about as individuals? It's easy to say, we as a church do this, that and the other, and actually to slip through the net and not put our little bit in. How can we change our community as individuals? Because each one of us can. We can do all kinds of little things. If your street's untidy, who picks up the litter? You know, it impacts the community. If somebody is feeling sad, a neighbour, who goes and consoles them? You know, these are things that cost nothing financially, so anybody can do them. Now, I'm not saying I'm the world's best at any of these. Far from it. I'm not a litter picker. Yeah, I have to bend my back. I can't do it. No. But we can all do our bit. You know, lots and lots of bits multiplied by God turns out to an awful lot. And I mean awful in the godly sense. So what does that mean for me? It means I need to stay full of the Holy Spirit and listen to his prompting. Now, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've had a lot of encouragement to be filled. Let's not forget that Jesus can prompt us directly. He can drop those little thoughts in our head. But let's listen to suggestions of others as well. Opportunities to serve. Opportunities to help. Let's look at what's going on around us. And God just may prompt us. Let's not forget that however little we have, if we offer it to Jesus, he can multiply it. A bit like those bubbles we were blowing earlier. We're not all the same size. We don't all have the same resources within us. We're not all meant to do the same things. But if we all did the things that we can do, we'd have a massive impact. If we look at the big need, it seems far too big for us. Story of the starfish on the seashore. We might not be able to get all the thousands of starfish back in the sea, but we can get a few back in, and it matters to them. Or the other question, how do you eat an elephant? One mouthful at a time. Okay. Let's all do our little bit and let God multiply it. And lastly, in this bit, there's a good liturgical response in the Anglican Church. I think it comes up in weddings and christenings. With God's help, we can. Let's take our little and use it. Because with God's help, we can do it. So, I come back to my question. What are you going to do with your picnic? I just sensed as I was looking at this, there were two or three responses. Now, I said I wasn't sure how I was going to finish off, but I did have these thoughts in mind. And Janet said, go for it, so okay. There are actually four things. I'm going to start with the most negative first. Is my response, I don't care enough for others? Now remember, I said one of the important things was honesty. I'm not saying that's a wrong response. Well, probably. But we need to be honest in our response. Do I care or not for others? Do I care enough to want to make a difference? I think it's an important question that we need to respond individually to. Do I want to offer what I've got? But I'm afraid Jesus will ask too much of me. I think we've probably all either been through that or are in it. Do I feel that I have nothing to offer? What can I do about it? Well, we can ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. To fill us to fullness, whether that be from nothing or whether it be just a top up. Can we do that? I think somewhere along that line, we've probably all got a response or responses, perhaps more than one. Perhaps in certain situations, well, I'd like to do that, but not really. I can't. Or I'd like to go so far, but no further. Now, I know I've done that. And God finishes up taking us partway along the road, then asking us to go a bit further. And it's usually for our own good. And it's usually because we couldn't cope with what's coming at the end. So let's respond to what God is asking of us. Yep. Are we up for it? I don't know where you're going to take it, but shall we just pray? Lord, I want to thank you that you've given each and every one of us resources in ourselves, resources in what we have. And Lord, I just ask you to help each and every one of us to be able to respond to what you're saying in our hearts, to help us with that view of caring for others, to help us have a heart for others and not just ourselves. To help us see what we actually have got and offer it to you to multiply. And Lord, I ask for each and every one of us that you fill us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Whether it's just a tiny corner, whether it's a whole big hole that needs filling, Lord, fill us. In Jesus' name, amen.